You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The WrestleMania episode of Wrestling with History is finally here. Hit my theme music. Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling. We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
The best version of Monday Night Raw since the Attitude Era.
It's ridiculous. It's garbage. These people are drones. It's like wrestling just occupies a part of their soul.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
Do you believe the things that you say?
Are you one of Dave Meltzer's minions?
Like, what world are you living in that you could have said that to be recorded and presented before the world?
Why couldn't they pay the Rock?
Where are you going with it? Like, you're a madman.
That brings all kinds of new people to your product.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
But you really have to look at what wrestling was in the time right before Hogan won the belt.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
Don't get your panties in a bunch. Just sit back and watch the product. That's what it's all about, right? It's supposed to be entertained.
Yeah, but they ruined it. That's the problem. They didn't entertain us the right way.
Wrestling with History.
It may well be in The Rock's best interest to actually return as a performer.
Wrestling with History.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
Wrestling with History streams worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network exclusively. So go on your favorite podcast app and follow VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Go on Twitter, follow at VOC Nation. You can follow this show at WWHVOC. And Namar, I always say the only show that I can validate, the only show that I can vouch for, the only show that I can attest for the quality of the broadcast that you're hearing is this one right here. So VOC Nation has lots of other programming, but we don't warranty anything other than our show.
Well, wow. I don't know what to say. I'm just thankful to be on the better program then.
I mean, that's not saying the others are good or bad or ugly or anything other than great. I don't know. I listen to some of them, and some of them are good, and I've heard some of them, and some of them are bad.
What are the other shows on the network?
You know, when I say some of them are bad, maybe I should just say some of them I haven't listened to thoroughly. Can I change my answer? I'm not going to go back and edit it, but we have In the Room with Brady Hicks. That actually goes live every Tuesday night. Brady takes calls. If you want to call Brady and get on the show and do a, you know, big roundtable discussion, that's the show to do it. So
how's
that's
that
one.
Show? How's that show?
You know, I don't want to rate the shows. I see what you're trying to do. I don't want to rate the shows. I think that all of the programming on VOC Nation strikes different people.
What's another show?
Bumps and Thumps with Brian
like
Ferguson. Well, Brian has interesting guests, and I was part of VOC Nation 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when Brian first came onto the team, And Brian has, like, he's interviewed, like, Greg Gagne and a lot of, he's from Minnesota, so he gets a lot of the people from Minnesota. And he reached out to me because he wanted to interview Ken Resnick. And that's how I got to know Brian. But again, I can't warranty his show because I don't listen to it enough. I have enough things to listen to, you know?
Anybody else on the network?
The Stro, former WCW star, the Maestro.
Never heard of him.
He's a beautiful soul. He's a great guy.
Yep. Everybody's got a pod. You know, speaking of, you know, that guy, Marcus, I mean, if there is not a more weaselly character in the world of wrestling podcasting than Marcus, you know, he's always trying to, there's always a suggestion. He's worse than, it's funny, I can't remember his name. Conrad. Him and Conrad are in the running for the worst or most annoying podcaster on the planet. Between Conrad telling the people who lived it what the truth is, like he knows, and little dorky Marcus suggesting this and suggesting that. And it's funny because it's clear when the wrestlers that he's interviewing are not going with him. Jake had an interesting story talking about Dan Spivey and the Adrian Adonis fight. I did watch that. So he does get me, but I can't stand him.
Well, he's trying to become the new Conrad. He's got a whole bunch of pods on his little network now, doesn't he? I mean, how much is this guy spending on, cause that's the thing about, like, back when we were on the radio, people, like, we would get the old wrestlers, legendary wrestlers, the people that weren't wrestling actively in WWE. We would get them because they wanted to promote their personal brand. They were going to appear at conventions, blah, blah, blah. Now these guys all want a couple hundred bills to appear on a podcast. So, you know, little Marcus or big Marcus, whatever, I don't know his size. He must be shelling out some shekels like Conan. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the thing that, Hannibal, I believe that's what he did to get as many guests as he got, is that he would pay a lot of money to interview these guys. And, you know, and I mean, I don't know what the return on investment is once you have their interviews. But you know, he really is milking Jake. I mean, Jake doesn't have a clue as to what's going on most of the time, you know, and you know, Jake's funny because he has those teeth. And, it's just a whole scene with Jake. I like Jake. And you know what's weird, Bruce? I'm actually following his wife, because she does a lot of promotion. And I don't know why, but the woman interests me and not from, like, I think for an older lady, she's nice looking. That's all I picture of her. And I was just surprised. And so that piqued my interest. And I wanted to confirm if she really was holding up. And I was surprised because she really is. And I said, that's a nice looking. She aged very nice, because that's actually one of my favorite feuds. I'm actually looking for a piece of footage where, oh, Bruce is brilliant, where during the feud where they're escorting Jake out of the arena area and Rude is in the ring, but he's doing the nasty dance taunting Jake.
Yeah.
And I need to find that. It's one of the funniest clips of their feud, but that is one of the feuds that I really, really like. And you know, Jake is interesting, but he gets a lot of details mixed up and, you know, Marcus is just, you know, I mean, he's like a little weasel. Like, he really is like a weasel, and he has the energy of one. You could just tell in his speech. And so he, is always trying to prod for a negative Hogan thing. And he doesn't even realize, you know, oftentimes that he doesn't even catch when Jake makes a mistake or an error or something. So, you know, Jake was confusing the details of the fight between Dan Spivey and Adrian Adonis.
So quick question. So I'm looking at Marcus has Jake Roberts. He's got Ted DiBiase. And it looks like he's got Arn Anderson or maybe something to do with the Horsemen. Does he like when somebody gets kicked off of ad-free shows, when somebody gets kicked off of Conrad's network, is that they just hit Marcus? Is that the thing? Cause Jake used to be with Conrad and Arn used to be with Conrad, and I didn't even know that he wasn't with Conrad anymore. Is that the path? Is that where all podcasts go to die?
Honestly, I don't know. I can't figure it out, because you do have Marcus, and you have the guy that looks like I don't want to disparage him, but he has a colored beard. It looks like it's colored. He's not too bad, but he as a person is not interesting.
Who's that?
And I don't know his name. I'd have to go look him up. I'm trying to think. I think he's the one who's maybe the guy interviewing Arn too.
Oh, well, so I'm looking right now. Okay. So he works for Ad Free Shows. He works for Conrad. He's a producer and he's the co-host of Jake and Ted DiBiase's, but it's like he advertises his own network. You know, that's the thing that confuses me. So he must do both, because he calls it something else. I don't know. I don't want to advertise for him, but some of the shows are good. Like I understand what you're saying. He's not my favorite host. And like a lot of these guys, I think that Conrad established a formula, right? He established this formula where he has one topic and he guides them through that topic. He does a ton of research. He goes through Meltzer's files, and all of these Johnny Come Latelys have really latched onto that formula.
Right. The good ones though prep the guys, and little Marcus does not prep people with the questions. And so Ted always has that Ted, you know, Mr. Tedlin DiBiase always has this blank. He has it takes a moment for him to get it. So he has this blank, puzzled look on his face when Marcus asks him a question, and it takes Ted a while to get it. And, you know, Ted has to adjust to whatever's going on. And Bruce, I do apologize, but I'm going to need a break. We got to pause the show.
You're going to do a break. Okay. All right. We'll come back on the other side. Actually, let's hear this message from Conrad Thompson.
VOC Nation is one of the longest running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former WCW performer The Maestro, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Bruce Wirt, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Dangerous Danny Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archived free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at vocnation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, back here on Wrestling with History, streaming exclusively in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network, and just having a little fun with some other podcasts out there. And there's
they
good
suck.
Ones and bad ones. Yes.
I'm sick of Little Marcus. The English guy with Dutch Mantel, he doesn't pop up too much.
Well,
he's annoying. Huh?
Well, he does Dutch's show. There was it used to be called the two-man power trip of pro wrestling. Like that guy, John Paz, I don't know his full name, but he does some shows, and I thought that he did Dutch's show, and I thought that he did Kevin Sullivan's show, but then the British guy's been showing up, and I know that John is not British, so who knows? I don't know. I just know that we got ours, and we're back. And we had our best week last week in terms of overall listeners. I was going to say views, but we had over 6,000 people that tuned into Wrestling with History. That's by far our best week yet.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. Amen.
With a lot of soul.
That's right. And Damar, I think a lot of, and we're going to get into WrestleMania, and we talked about night one last time a little bit, and night two, in my opinion was far better. But before I do that, I just want to acknowledge. So I'm a lot of times the person behind the VOC Nation Twitter, and I wasn't for a long time, but I just have some fun with it now that I'm back hosting a show, and I don't think that Brady does a whole lot with it. So I just couldn't help myself, and I wanted to comment on the stuff that happened with CM Punk and Tony Khan last week, and
right.
And Dave Meltzer has been increasingly annoying me. Like, his take on pro wrestling and the destruction that he's causing to the product is really grating at my soul.
Right.
So I took to the VOC Nation Twitter, and I just started barraging Dave's stuff with comments. And I started to put some stuff out there about my feelings about Dave and Tony Khan and the way that Tony listens to Dave, and Dave's probably secretly letting Tony book AEW. And they made that stupid mistake with CM Punk last week, making him the biggest star on their show. And I got blocked. VOC Nation is officially blocked by Dave Meltzer. Congratulations.
You've been pushing them lately. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. And it's a shame because it really shows how fragile Dave is. He wanted all the attention and he wanted to push his agenda, and now he can't handle that, the weight of it falling apart, that he got everything he wanted. The wrestling business turned and positioned itself to face the direction that he thought was best, and look at it. History has shown, and this is always my argument, because a lot of times these wrestling fans, it's weird. The diehard fans do not understand the business. They do not understand it. It is bizarre that the ones that are the most dedicated are the ones who don't get it. And
they don't understand business, right? Business in general.
Right.
Things that make money.
Well, that's why they're called marks. You make money off of them. They don't understand that the very nature of their existence to wrestlers is somewhat of an insult, because it's because they know what they're dealing with. And that's not all, because we like the product, but we understand the business side of it. And fortunately for me, I tend to like the more successful side of that. But when you look through history, wrestling has always been a better product, not based off the physicality, which is instrumental, but it really is a lower selling point of what makes wrestling great. It's the drama. It's the building of storylines. It's about attitudes and characters and how they interact with each other. That's how you build heat, because wrestling is, in the old days, it was not as successful as boxing or other. Think about it. Andre was the only one in the 70s who made a comparable wage to, you know, some of the big stars of that era.
Right.
It was notable that he made $400,000, and I think it was like 75 or 76. I forget what year, but it's about the characters, and moves are important. And this is the thing. Dave Meltzer devalues the moves because he loves the excessiveness of the moves.
Yeah.
He's moronic.
The more flips and the more flops, the more stars. That's just the way Dave does it.
Right. And it devalues the flips. It devalues the flops. It devalues the entire product. And he does not get it. Dave Meltzer has been one of the worst things to happen to professional wrestling. And when you look back, he's been a little thorn in wrestling's side for a very long time, because he's been at this for a very long time. And the man has no clue. He never had a clue about what makes wrestling work.
What was the, in your lifetime, right? And forget about, see, most of the last 20 years, we didn't like wrestling, but it made money.
Right.
In your lifetime, what was the lowest period, would you say, in pro wrestling?
Had to been that 93-94 era?
Yes, and who was the WWE champion during that time?
Those times it was Brett and it was Shawn Michaels, you know, and you know, it's funny because I got into a thing online with somebody talking about, you know, they defined the culture or the wrestling today. And I said, no. What are you talking about? They presided over the lowest points in wrestling.
Thank you.
When wrestling got good during the Attitude Era, you did have a lot of that type of wrestling, but there was more diversity. Undertaker wasn't flipping and flopping all over the place. And you think about it. Look at the heat or the excitement that The Rock could generate over the absurd People's Elbow. You know,
right.
Steve Austin he really, calling him a ringmaster was appropriate at that time because he really had a lot of good technical skills if you go back and look at his old work. But when he became truly successful, he didn't have all of those moves. He was running down, knocking people over, you know, kicking them in the gut, giving them a stunner, a couple of middle fingers, and, you know, or pounding away at somebody. That will always be the better part of wrestling. It always will be. And we have history to prove it. And history has stated that those that are so concerned about moveset, the business is always at a lower point because of it. That's just true. That's just fact. And AEW is the extreme of that. And Bruce, I can go back and wrap this up real quick. I'll never forget the first time I watched an AEW program. I heard they were coming out. They had a couple of shows under their belt. And I said, oh, this is great. We got competition, because competition, I thought would have, you know, bred something better, from the WWE. And instead I was like, wow, they just took the WWE and stuck a rocket in its rear and shot it up to the sky.
No, it's Dave. They just pander to Dave. And this is where my point was when I asked you about the worst period in pro wrestling, because how many 5-star matches did Hulk Hogan have from Dave Meltzer?
Hardly any, none.
Yeah, zero. And how many 5-star matches did Bret Hart have? You can't even count them. That's the problem, is this guy rates, so for some reason he became our guy. Like, he's the guy that everybody looks to as the scorecard of pro wrestling. And he values the match based on really the Japanese style of wrestling as an American product. And the matches that he rates the highest are not the highest rated matches by actually people that watch them. And then these idiots go online, and I had to fight with hundreds of them, thousands of them, and they're attacking me, saying, you're a hater of AEW, and it's for different styles of people. And I said, it's not about that. It's about what makes money, and it doesn't make money. That's the problem. WWE makes money. The hard-hitting style, changing styles, makes money. AEW doesn't make money. And this guy sent me a chart showing the difference in the products and how WWE ratings are down 2. Guess what? My point was made because AEW hasn't grown its audience since it started. It lost people. It never went up. WWE's had peaks and valleys, and they're the biggest company in the world when it comes to professional wrestling, and their business is hotter than it ever has been, and you cannot say that for Dave Meltzer's AEW. Sorry to go on that rant. I apologize.
No, it was good, and it was true, and it was honest, so it was okay. To piggyback on that, it's weird because when the guy talked about WWE's numbers being down, that also has been my argument. You know, I think they could slow things down. Mm-hmm. But to their credit, I mean, AEW, when I saw it or when I see it, it's if you think the WWE is bad or the business is down because it's bad, tuned into AEW, then you're really going to see a plane wreck. I mean, it really is just falling out of the sky. And, you know, the backyard style wrestling fan, the ECW fan, these guys have taken over, and their perspective on the business, their understanding of the business, you know, just talking to them, these guys are delusional. They don't live in the real world. And that's the problem is that, you know, so the success of an evergreen business is that sometimes you get into a culture situation where the losers are the ones with the loudest voice and you're appealing to them. And it's hard to make the argument because the WWE is making money spite of, you know, their issues.
But it's a diverse product, meaning, it has something for everybody. And as we transition into our WrestleMania recap, that's the highlight for me is, I didn't like every match. I didn't love every match, but I felt like there was enough. Like you and I went there and we were quote unquote invited guests and in night one, and we had a great time. And I thought the main event was fun. The rest of the card was a little lacking to me. I liked the women's match first, I guess, too, with Rhea Ripley. But the thing is with the WWE product and specifically with night two, there's diversity in the styles of matches, and it keeps the fans up and down, and there's something for everybody. And my biggest problem with the Dave Meltzerites is, like, I don't know how you thought, Namar, and we haven't talked about it, and that's the cool thing I think about this show is, generally, we try not to talk about things until we're on the air, because it is authentic, and that's what we try to give the people. The main event of WrestleMania Night 2, to me was, and listen, I know that I pop for nostalgia, but that seriously was one of the best matches I've seen in a long time because it had everything. It had hard hitting. It had fast paced. It had anger and action. It had nostalgia. And I was not a Cody fan. I've been on record, but it ended where I was rooting for him. It made me invested. It made me root for him. And I was happy. It was emotional at the end. I wasn't crying, but I felt the emotion. I felt like, you know, I felt everything that crowd felt. And
wow.
I might be wrong. So give me your take because like that to me. So my point is Dave gave that 4.5 stars and he's given like, Wednesday night Dynamite, like mid-card matches 5 stars. So that really annoys the crap out of me. And
well, Bruce, 4.5 is, that's the next step down, which is still excellent.
But how does it get less stars than like, Yuji Nagata versus Kento I'm gonna offend somebody. How does it get less stars than, Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson, where 6,200 people are watching in the arena and 450 people are watching at home. How does that get more stars?
Well, see, that's the thing. Well, this is why I feel like for a person like you, you should in a way celebrate that they've got it somewhat right. Because I thought that entire match was atrocious. I thought,
what is wrong with you?
I was embarrassed to be a wrestling fan. Like, wrestling fans are cheap. Wrestling fans are cheap, just so cheap now because the business is so empty. Those Undertaker, Cena, like The Rock makes sense. He's been a part of this. Cena and Undertaker, it's embarrassing.
Well, you know, it's because they didn't pay Austin. Did you hear about that? Austin was supposed to be in the Undertaker spot and they couldn't come to an agreement.
Okay. See, I didn't know if it was regarding money or not. I know there was some controversy. I was in some chat groups and we were talking and one guy was, he was mad that Austin and Hogan didn't show up. And I said, well, he blamed those individuals. I'm like, well, you don't know what their schedule is. And I said, if Hogan showed up, you would have got booed out of the place. I said, so it was probably good that he did not show up. And I said, I don't know any background things with Austin. So, but you're confirming that it was a money issue.
I am not an insider and I have heard in the chatter that it was a money issue. And I think I want to say that Dave Meltzer reported that it was Austin. Austin said publicly that it was his schedule. Like he wanted to spend time with his family, quote unquote. And usually that means it wasn't enough money to get me off my butt.
Yeah. So, you know, I honestly thought it was embarrassing. It's so hokey and pointless. And it's like, so Cena just came out of nowhere. I told you wrestling to me works best when it has some realism. And it's funny because we've talked forever and a day. When you're a child of the 70s and the 80s and you look at wrestlers that have been around too long and, you know, for years, they just, you know, these guys got hammered, for just staying around too long, destroying their bodies. They can't leave the business. They can't let go. They can't let go. And literally it seems like that this is a perpetual spirit in the wrestling business. Because it has always been that way from the Sheik when he ran Detroit to Vern Gagne booking himself as the main event in 1986 and places like that. Hey. Then you have Edge returning to the business. You have Undertaker popping in and Cena, he's in a weird state and I don't want to talk about another man's looks.
Well, who grows out their hair? So he spent the entire, his entire career with a fade, right? A skin fade on a haircut.
Yeah.
$20 barbershop haircut. He decides to grow out his hair into his mid 40s and 50s, whatever he is, late 40s, when he has a big bald spot in the top of his hair. Wrong thing to do, John. Stay with the fade.
He needs the minoxidil. I don't know if I'm saying it right. What is it?
Rogaine.
Rogaine with minoxidil.
I have three bottles of it.
Yeah, like, I could not believe that it made him look old. He looked very old. Bruce is playing with his hair on that. he's so proud of his hair. You should see him, guys. So we're on Zoom and I can see him. I don't have my camera on, but he, you know, while I was just saying that.
This is the Rogaine and Just for Men. You can stay, as good as you want, John. Come on.
Is your hair colored? I can't tell because your hair is dark. It looks like you have color in it.
Salt and pepper.
Okay. Yeah. You look like it was like a Selsun Blue commercial. It was extravagant the way you were.
Right. I used some conditioner early, but I don't have the hair gel in right now. So I'm using the hat.
Okay. So, you know, anyway. Yeah, Cena with the bald spot that of course made its rounds. And Undertaker's just sad. It's like these guys, it's something in the wrestling business where these guys cannot let go. And it's funny that the generation that teased the older generation, they are the ones popping in ludicrous ways for Undertaker just showing up out of nowhere. It's so cheap. It doesn't have any value. It's just like, in order to get you to keep you, they have to throw you these little nuggets and they're not even trying. Nothing means anything. And that bothers me. I rolled my eyes literally. I'm going to have to get them reballed because they rolled so far up in my head when Cena and Undertaker popped up. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. There was only one thing I liked about night two with WrestleMania.
Well, before you do that, you mentioned Vern Gagne, and I know we've talked about this before, but since we're talking about five-star matches And we got the video rolling today. I do want to just say, Vern's last five-star match, Namar, did you know the date on this?
No.
January 26th, 2009. Dave Meltzer, I believe, rated this match. It was originally 4.5 stars, and then he went to 5. Vern's last match was against Helmut Guttman, a 97-year-old resident of the Bloomington, Minnesota nursing nursing care facility where they both resided. According to Guttman's, I'm sorry, this, he was 97, folks. He led a good life.
Yo, I love how this story tickles the life out of you. I mean, it is utterly hilarious.
According to Guttman's widow, who was not present during the altercation, Ganya picked up Guttman and threw him in the floor. And then he broke his hip by pulling.
Yo, you are having a whole fit.
I'm sorry. So he had him in a stretch move. He had a match with this 97-year-old man while he's at the home. The attack happened quickly while the men were at the table, and Bloomington Police Chief Jeff Potts said it was more like a push and shove, and it caused Guttman to fall. Now, that's like the CM Punk Jack Perry incident at AEW. I mean, this, I have it on good authority, Dave, that CM Punk and Jack Perry were just merely trying to recreate the Ganya Guttman match at the nursing home in 1997 or in 2009. I think that's what they were trying to do. And that's why Tony Khan played that footage.
You know, Bruce, what was the conversation or the trigger that led up to that? Like, what happened? Do you think it was one of those, oh, wrestling's not real thing? Like,
I'll show you real. Well, ironically, neither man had any recollection of the incident right after.
Really?
Yeah. And unfortunately, Guttman was admitted to the hospital and he died from complications of the hip injury, which is a real thing. And it is a shame. It's a real shame. And that's not the funny part, that he died. The funny part was that Vern took wrestling so serious that he basically had a match with this almost 100-year-old man at a nursing home. And
it's
Dave,
not funny.
Dave gave it a 5-star.
So demented. It, you know, it's weird, man. That's the thing. Like, so this is a side note. So since I started working from home, I really got into true crime. I was never into true crime stories, and I found a, you know, Forensic Files. I started listening to that while I was at work because, you know, you're not talking to coworkers and stuff. So you find more things to listen to through the course of a day. So, you know, and also I'm getting older, so I'm more reflective on different things and the cost and weight of living life a certain way. And it amazes me to think, like, some people have lived all their life and then they end up getting body slammed by a former wrestler and that's how they go out. It's like, you know, it makes you scared because you think that you're in the safest place and the chance for abuse or, like, if somebody hip tossed me and threw me down today, it would hurt like crazy.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
So to think that it happened to a 97-year-old man is even worse. It had to, you know, it's amazing sometimes what older people go through. And it's just like, wow, like, you know, you think of Vern Gagne, he was on top of the world. What a way to go out. When the AWA was rolling, right before he lost Hogan, they were looking into expanding into New York. They were supposedly checking into buying time on Channel 9 in New York. You know, a guy that was on top of the world, making tons of money. He was the guy. He was a legend in his own right. And then he ends up going out. I mean, it's unreal. Wrestlers, it is the wrestling business. You just hate to have heroes in the wrestling business because we talked last week. Will we ever see a Jimmy Snuka figure? I don't think so.
Do you think that he got a belt from that victory? You think they gave him a belt?
I don't feel comfortable laughing at this because this is going to feel so wrong. You know what? If he did, he awarded it to himself. That's something he would have done in the '80s. He would have crowned himself champion.
That's right. You can't make Hogan the champion. We need Greg. We need a real wrestler in there.
It's funny. I watched that you're talking about AWA and Vern because I literally just today watched Dr. D, David Schultz, talk about how much he couldn't stand Greg Gagne. You know, he said he was just one of those that, you know, sons of a wrestler who got that privilege and push but didn't belong there.
Yeah, well, and I don't want to get so far off track, but I think that is something that any second and third generation wrestler has to overcome is, and if you look at how this kind of played into the whole Cody thing, mm-hmm. I think there's like Cody, if you look at Cody's journey in the WWE and how Vince treated Cody, he basically made him a joke. I mean, Vince really he must have had real disrespect and disregard for Dusty. And because Dusty was competing with him for most of his career. So, right. You know, he makes Dustin into Gold Dust. He makes Cody into Stardust. Like they gave him, it was like the wheel of gimmicks. And, you know, he's smaller and Vince never liked the small guys. And if you think about it, he really had to overcome a lot of adversity. And if you look at all of the second and third generation people in the WWE, most of them don't make it. And I wonder if that is Vince holding a grudge against the father, you know, the parent, because the only ones that really made it, you think of Randy Orton and you think of The Rock, but I mean, I might be missing some people, but there's not a whole long list. Like for every one of those, there's like five Ted DiBiase Juniors out there.
David Flair or whatever, right?
David Flair.
And no disrespect to those guys that didn't make it. You know, it's just pointing out that it is difficult when your father or uncle cast a very big shadow and a lot of guys do fall through the cracks. But I'll be honest with you, Bruce, there's only been a handful of second generation wrestlers and some that I didn't even know until much later on. So, you know, like a Curt Hennig, he was able to step into his own. He became his own man. Even Jake the Snake is a second generation wrestler. And Randy Orton, he's a modern one that I like. Yeah. Cody's okay. I like his style of wrestling. I think he's boring. But you know what?
You just disproved me. Maybe you just disproved everything that I said.
Why do you say that?
Because
I wasn't crying.
You just named a bunch of names. I take it back. I should cut out that. You know what? I'm an honorable man. I'm not gonna cut it out. Maybe I was just flat out wrong. A lot of those second, third generation people ended up having some pretty good careers.
Well, you know, I wasn't, but you know what? You know, it's weird because I wasn't looking to disprove you, and I really don't think so. Because
no, I don't think you were, but it's funny. It just naturally happened.
But you know what? Those are the only ones that I could think of. So it's not a great big list. I actually have felt the same sentiment as you do. Yeah. You know, it's just that some that they might be successful, I don't always acknowledge them, but I actually do. Like, I didn't like Goldust at the time. I was just not Dustin Rhodes, his look. It just was that old style Southern wrestling look, his body. And I just, and I like diversity. I appreciated him. I think what he did with Goldust. You have to give the Rhodes credit. The Rhodes family, there is really something special about them. And I mean, considering who their father was, again, it's understanding the business. It's about character. Dusty knew how to put forth a character and a spirit that people can connect to. And his children, for what it's worth, even Cody, which I think, you know, Cody might thrive. I might have enjoyed him better if the product itself was different. But I really do respect Cody, his wrestling ability and Dustin, you know. Yeah, Dustin's good. I like Goldust now. Looking back, it was a funny character, and he can wrestle. They all can wrestle. They know how to put on a good match in the ring too, which without having to do all the flips. But even when they need to get physical, it used to be done right. You know.
All right. So WrestleMania, right?
Yes.
Going working backwards, WrestleMania to me, like that main event match was great because it's not about the flips. It's not about the nostalgia and I get it. The Undertaker didn't make sense and Austin would have made sense, but I think they just wanted to give the audience some nostalgia because The Rock was there and it just, to me, it worked. But the biggest thing was all of the energy that had been placed into that match, all of the stuff they did on the cards, Raw and SmackDown leading up to the event, all of the stuff that The Rock recorded on his Twitter and posted, and then the match itself, both nights, I think it made everybody invested into the story, and everybody was over the moon when Cody won. And the contrast,
oh, I thought it was nonsense. Let me just finish this point. Okay, go ahead.
This point. The contrast was John Cena when and the original Roman Reigns when he was a face. Like Vince would just decide, I'm giving these guys the ball and I'm going to run with it. And you know, they'd have somewhat of a build and there'd be a match at WrestleMania. They win the title and the fans would vomit on it and they'd say, we don't want that. And then there would be boos. I mean, both of those guys were notoriously split with the reaction from the crowd. They were trying to be baby faces and half of the audience were loudly booing. And I think what they did with Cody was they emotionally got everybody there and that was one of the loudest pops that I've seen in quite some time when Cody won the title and even the next night on Raw and this past week on Raw. So, I mean, to me, it was an amazing match. It was an amazing story and a home run by the WWE. And I am interested to hear why you are taking the contrarian view because we didn't really talk through this.
I'll be honest with you. I think people only really got behind Cody the way they did was because the opposition is just so empty. I think that they just had, like, you have to think about,
Roman is a huge star. The Rock is a huge star. Paul Heyman is a huge star. I don't know how you say that.
No, you're right. But think about in this storyline. What have you really been given? There's no real meat into this. It's nonsense. And so what has Roman Reigns done to really generate heat in this that you could really look and point to and say, wow, he's being excellent. He's walking around with the smile and all that other nonsense. And it just does not work for me, at least.
No, you're right about that. The Rock was the antagonist in this whole thing. I mean, The Rock made Roman look like an amateur. I think that the Rock overshadowed Roman, but The Rock's involvement.
No, he exposed Roman right. Because yeah. In the wrestling business, real personalities rise to the crop no matter the grouping they're with. You know, they will always shine. And I think that's the problem is that, you know, I think people just needed something to lean on. They just felt like they had to. So I think people just at the end just sided with Cody because, you know, the Usos were positioned as the villains and they didn't give anything worthwhile. They weren't even credible villains. It's just, they just fell flat. And I mean, in that fight with the Usos on or whoever it was that was fighting on the ramp and they jumped off and hit those well-placed tables. You know, I just was like, it was all so cheesy to me. Who's the announcer, Bruce? Roma! I can't do her voice. I'm going to learn how to do her voice.
Samantha Irvin.
She's the absolute worst. Gorgeous, but she's the absolute worst.
I like her. I think she's... I love the emotion.
But see, you know what it is, Bruce? This is what I realized. And we're going to take a trip back down memory lane. And we're going to expose you, too. So, Bruce... Bruce likes vulgarity. He likes vulgarity in wrestling.
I'm the hacker suck guy.
Huh?
I'm the hacker suck guy. So
we won't say which president, but Bruce voted for a president based off of his laws about, or the potential laws surrounding censorship. and wrestling. And because Bruce wanted a more vulgar product, he voted for it. You remember now, don't you?
A long time ago. This was before Trump, everybody.
So, but it's the same thing today. That's why you like this product, because it's getting more vulgar. You keep saying week after week you're tired of the PC nonsense.
Wrestling's an adult product. Let me see. I want to see emotion. It's not about vulgarity. It's about emotion and talking and treating people like real people, like real people.
All right. I'll go with you on that. But I was thinking, because I said, he keeps saying it's so PC. And I mean, there was a lot of cussing going on, in that heavyweight match. You picked up a lot of that. And I just, you know, it just made me think of that for many, many years ago in combination with what you were saying. And I'll be honest with you. When you say adult, we need to clarify that point. And I don't know if we have the time tonight, because, you know, there's still other things to talk about with this WrestleMania. And I still want to, you know, express the part that I really like the most, which actually coincides with both nights. But when you say you don't like PC, on a deeper level,
PG,
explain that to me.
Don't say PG, you get me fired. PC, you get me fired.
Right. But when you,
I told you, voice of choice, first you're talking about Hellman Gutman, and then you're going to talk about PC, you're going to get fired.
Burning your bridges.
Anyway.
Now you'll never get Greg Gagne on the phone. You'll never be able to interview him and ask him all those wonderful stories about the AWA when he was the high flyer.
Anyway, go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm asking you, when you say that you don't want a PG product, because see, what do you mean by that in detail? Because when I think of that, I'm thinking of the Attitude Era with, you know, Ho Trains and Suck It and Middle Fingers and, you know, this says you can kiss my, you know what, the cussing starts, and then you have Rikishi butts and men's faces and stripper things. So when I hear that, that's what I'm thinking. But I think you're saying something different.
I'm saying a more realistic product. And the thing is, Vince McMahon for many years is into like sensational over the top gimmicks, mainly geared towards children, and the angles and the storylines are, there's no emotion in them. Like The Rock was whipping Cody with a belt. They brought back the steel chair, which they had taken away from wrestling. And they use curse words they're probably overdoing it a little bit, but they're using them very strategically to show the emotion that's in the match. And that was missing. Like, I think for the better part of 20 years, it didn't feel like anybody really cared. Like it was just people going out and playing parts in an action show and right. Not very good parts. And right. I felt at WrestleMania, like most of these matches had feeling in them, and I couldn't say that for a long time.
Well, I'll tell you, Bruce, I am not there yet. I think that when I watch this, I see the magnetism of certain people. Like, so how The Rock has been included, I'm not really a fan of it, but he is something special in the business. And so even in the midst of this nonsense to me, I'm appreciating his presence, and I'm hoping that he can add more value to, like you said, where they're going. So I'm actually being patient with the product. I do not like it, but like you said, Vince is no longer in charge. Triple H, who people have been begging to take the reins, is, you know, now not hampered by Vince. And you got the likes of some of the guys who are, you know, old school and talented to help bridge that gap and really elevate this product to where it needs to be, which is taking things down and letting people ride on their own more. Because you sent me the video of, you know, what happened after Raw, was it right? When when The Rock beat The Rock. Cody outside. Right. Yep. And so they're going, and that's the thing, wrestling has to be presented in a way of with certain kinds of brutality. It does. It has to mimic boxing and UFC to a degree. That's where you know you sell the physical part of it. And so you can't be leaping around 1,000 different places all the time, because you have to, you know, because no man could really survive that. Can you imagine if you got into a street fight and people were, you know, doing hurricanranas and flipping you into ditches and stuff? Like, it would be, it's nonsensical. And we, you know, wrestlers, they're trained to fall, because we know falls hurt, and these guys are old. So, you know, you have to make a fall mean something. And I think once we get back to that, maybe the product will grow, and you know, furthermore, maybe these guys can start cutting their hair on top of it. That'd be nice. I'm tired of the greasy, stringy nonsense. And we'll see. So it's interesting, Bruce. At the very least, as much as I hated this WrestleMania, I only like one thing about it. I must say that the potential with the, because of the disruptions in the business, the failing of AEW, and now the removal of Vince, we really are at a time where there's a lot of potential and possibilities. And I would love to return to appreciate the product, because I even get tired of looking at matches from 1987 and 1988, 1989. I would like to get invested in something new. So, and I admit, I did not take in as much as the Attitude Era as I wish I had now. So I'm yearning for a good product that will help diversify, and because I can get bored of the old stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on, even though I was not a fan of this WrestleMania.
Okay. What was, you said there was something that you liked. Give me that.
The best thing to happen to Sunday night's WrestleMania had to have been Snoop Dogg's commentary.
Oh boy.
It was like, it's nonsense. That's why it's funny, because it totally doesn't belong, and it's uncomfortable, and it's ridiculous, and and that was the only highlight. He and R-Truth are the things that made this WrestleMania for me. R-Truth is he's a presence. He's hilarious. He's out of his mind. His commentary from a few weeks back was great. And then Snoop Dogg it reminded me of Booker T when he did come, and I have to find that event. It was some pay-per-view we went to, the Fox and Hound, to go watch, and Booker T had me rolling through the whole thing, because it's pure nonsense. I mean, he's completely unqualified to be there. And the lines that they say are so unwrestling-like, like, and so specific to certain cultural things. Like, he's talking, they bring out the tables, and he's talking about the family barbecue or the family reunion tables. You know, it's just like, it's a very specific ethnic thing going on. And I guess I'm free to talk about it because I am black. You know, my mother is half Korean.
Stay back on this one.
Yeah, half Filipino. My father is, you know, Irish and Italian. So I'm 100% black. And, you know, so that was the only thing I enjoyed, but I enjoyed them because of their absurdity, not necessarily because it was like great wrestling. But I will give them, you know, and I find wrestling funny. That's another thing that you and I talked about is the funny moments in wrestling, or finding the humor in it. And that also is a big draw for me. So, you know, I'm looking forward to some more humorous, good times with the product as well.
How did you feel about the Drew McIntyre Seth Rollins match with CM Punk on commentary?
Bruce, I thought it was horrible. There was just nothing to it. There was just...
Well, how about the ending? I mean, CM Punk found a way to interject himself while he was injured, and, I mean, you're building towards a long-term storyline with a lot of feeling.
I personally didn't feel it. You tell me what you thought was good about it. And the crowd seemed to be dead to me through the whole thing.
Well, I think that was shame on Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia known for, you know, being a hot crowd and all the hype for Philadelphia. I thought Philadelphia really struggled, but it was cold out. It was windy, and you give them a little bit of a pass on that. I thought See, to me, CM Punk is, right next to Cody Rhodes and of course The Rock. He's the biggest star in WWE. And unfortunately, he's had to sit the sidelines. And I thought it was a perfect way to get him involved in WrestleMania and a perfect way to also get Damian Priest over because, you know, they kind of hit, they hit a home run on Damian Priest. You know, he came from the Performance Center and he's not young anymore, 41 years old. He's been languishing for a little while. The Judgment Day was at one time one of the hottest things going on Raw. Lately, they've become more of a joke. And if he didn't cash in that title and win it, win the title, a title, then it almost becomes meaningless. You know, if he would have, or he becomes meaningless, if he would have cashed in and lost or something happened, Damian Priest loses a lot of his momentum, and I think he already lost some of it. So this gives him a shot to run with the belt, maybe beef back up Judgment Day, and it keeps CM Punk hot. And when he comes back, he can have a match with Drew McIntyre, and it doesn't have to be for the belt. And it's just about emotion, and that to me is great. That's what I look for in wrestling.
I'll just have to concede that you're right, but I personally just did not feel it, at all. I thought the match was dead, and I spent most of my time looking out at the audience where that guy was dressed like, King Macho Man.
What?
Go back and watch the match where you said CM Punk is on commentary. There's a guy in the audience who's very visible. He's like in the third row and he's dressed like Macho Man. And I spent every time he was in camera view, I just was looking at him. I don't know why. I just kept looking at him. You know, because he's making the rounds a lot. See, that's the thing. I'm finding the nonsense more interesting than the actual match in the business. So there's been a couple of videos that have made the rounds of him and a couple of other guys who dress like to the T like Macho. And there was one recently that circulated where it was the three of them walking through some convention, all dressed and doing the Macho voices. And it was funny. It was humorous. And so because of that, he was so visible during the match that I spent most of my time watching him, just waiting for him to come back in the camera view through the whole match. I found the match just very boring and the crowd was dead and I just didn't feel the emotion or the intensity in it. At all. I'm sorry. I just didn't.
All right. Hugo's waiting patiently to go outside for his final trek to the yard for the evening. Wrap it up. What do you give in the spirit of Dave Meltzer to tie this show all together? How many stars do you give WrestleMania on the 5-star scale?
Zero.
Oh boy.
And get one star. Listen, I'm not even a Snoop Dogg fan, and I just like the commentary because it was nonsense. Just listening to him, and I mean, you know, it was so absurd that it was humorous. And just the way he called the matches and stuff, it was hilarious. It was, yeah, that nonsensical. So maybe you get one star, a half a star for Snoop Dogg. And the rest, it's for me with my particular taste. I'm going to have to be a see and wait kind of guy. We have to see where the business goes from here. But I was, I'm thankful for the experience. I'll thank you yet again on the air to have attended WrestleMania. I acknowledge that The Rock is still a presence, and I'm looking forward to now with new changes that the wrestling business will grow. And these guys, that's the thing. I really want to see what these guys can do. I don't care about what the writers want to write. I want to see what these guys can do unto themselves. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, and I think they're going to have the opportunity more than before under the Paul Levesque era in WWE. I'm going to give a WrestleMania night one is 3 stars. You know, yep. I think it was just milquetoast for me. Night two, 4.5. You know, the main event was 5 or more. So overall, 4 stars WrestleMania. I thought it was a heck of a show. And I absolutely worth night two, especially the price of admission and WWE is really hitting a stride right now, and I hope they keep that momentum going. I know Vince Russo has been outspoken about, you know, the Raw after WrestleMania really falling flat, and I think that's just because WWE's kind of now building towards their draft. So we'll see where this goes. I thought, you know, the shows this week were pretty good, and I'm invested, and that's more than I could say for most of the last 20 years.
Well, you know, Bruce, that's the thing is that, and that's where we have to be at, like, cause I know I can be very negative, and I know even in my reasoning, I can be stuck, because there's often times where I go back and I'm really regretful that I'm like, man, I really missed this person. I'll see some footage and I'm like, I regret not embracing the product more at the time. So I really am trying. I really am trying, and I think that to a big extent, I think that there's a lot of potential there. I'm just interested in, you know, maybe rebranding the colors, graphics, and also allowing the guys to develop their own characters and seeing where they can go with that. I think that will be key to really bringing the wrestling business, not that it's not successful, but bringing back a lot of the fans that have walked away. And, and it's going to be interesting. At the very least, this is where it's good. And this is where I give it big credit. Intentional or not, we are at a very interesting point in wrestling history to see where the business is going to go. And it has piqued my interest. So it has value that way. That at least it's like it has me intrigued. So I'll give it that credit because I genuinely am.
Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that we continue to go in the right direction. I hope that AEW course corrects. I was very anti-AEW lately, and I want to say on the record as we end the show today that I am not anti-AEW. I think AEW needs to survive for wrestling to thrive. And that is where I stand. I feel very passionately that AEW's got to get their stuff in order. So we'll talk more about that in the weeks and months to come.
Hey Bruce, when you take the dog out, are you going to pick up his turds with a piece of paper or a scooper?
It's a bag.
You know, I had a discussion with my family this Sunday, and I find the people like you who have dogs disgusting that you actually pick the turds up with your, like, why do you not use a scooper? Like, the thought of feeling it in your hand, even with a bag, is such a turnoff. How do you guys, huh?
Warm.
Oh, my gosh.
Press it on people's skin, too. Let them feel the warm. Follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at WWHVOC. Interact with the show. We'll read some of that stuff next week.
Put it on somebody's door handle. That'll give them a surprise. You mentioned right the guard on in the morning, and it's right on the inside of the door handle. Ugh. That's a good, Bruce, this is what you do. Okay, listen. So we know your wife doesn't listen, right? Get some petroleum jelly one day, right? When you know she's going out. And put it on the inside of her door handle and record. And she goes to the door and she goes, and this is perfect because we can say it on air. She'll never hear it. She'll never know. But if you could get, I know you can't share it, but between you and I mean, you know, you could definitely share that. You know, cause she would be like, what in the, that would freak somebody out. It's like, what is this gel on the door handle? So think about that, Bruce, and so that we can have a laugh outside of this, all right?
All right, I'll consider it, and we'll have to bring the people into the – we'll have to record it. We'll put it up somewhere if I decide to do it.
I want to. Well, I know how you are about family, so that's why I said between us, but, you know, that's something that it would be humorous.
We'll at least let you know, everybody. Follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at WWHVOC. Follow VOC Nation at VOC Nation. We drop podcasts exclusively on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network on your favorite podcast platform. So follow VOC Nation, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, get notified when we drop a new episode. And we're just starting to post on YouTube again. So make sure that you follow VOC Nation Wrestling Network on YouTube and subscribe. We're trying to get to the next milestone. We got to 500 subscribers pretty fast. We got to get to 1,000. So Namar, thanks for crashing
the product again.
Another week. I'm a little upset about that. But thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us for an hour. And we'll talk to you next week right here on Wrestling with History Worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Hit my music. Wrestling with History Worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling. We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
The best version of Monday Night Raw since the Attitude Era.
It's ridiculous. It's garbage. These people are drones. It's like wrestling just occupies a part of their soul.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
Do you believe the things that you say?
Are you one of Dave Meltzer's minions?
Like, what world are you living in that you could have said that to be recorded and presented before the world?
Why couldn't they pay the Rock?
Where are you going with it? Like, you're a madman.
That brings all kinds of new people to your product.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
But you really have to look at what wrestling was in the time right before Hogan won the belt.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
Don't get your panties in a bunch. Just sit back and watch the product. That's what it's all about, right? It's supposed to be entertained.
Yeah, but they ruined it. That's the problem. They didn't entertain us the right way.
Wrestling with History.
It may well be in The Rock's best interest to actually return as a performer.
Wrestling with History.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.